Seats. I'm going to open in prayer, and then I'd like us also to turn in the red psalm book. Leave the red psalm book for now. We're going to finish off with that, actually. But let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We ask that you would open up the scriptures to us now, that we may grow thereby in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, let's turn also back to Judges chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 12 to find out what happens next. Judges 16, 12, it says, "So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound.' And he said to her, 'If you weave the seven locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So while he slept, Delilah took the seven locks of his head and wove them into the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. And she said to him, 'How can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times. You have not told me where your great strength lies.' And when she passed him hard with her words, day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, 'A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up again, for he has told me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. And then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' And he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." Well, the title of the sermon tonight is Samson's Humiliation. Samson's Humiliation. And I have to say, the lesson here from that is always where sin will lead you. Sin will always lead you. Spiritual compromise may start off small, but its end is deadly. Proverbs 13, verse 15, what does that say? "Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin." But I like the King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." The way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13, verse 15. And that's what we learn in the life of Samson here. Samson teaches us this doctrine that the way of transgressors is hard. The Bible says in Galatians, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And Samson sowed to the flesh, and from the flesh he reaped. And here the story ends up, as far as we've got. Samson, all we can see if we looked at him, would be a pair of sockets in his head. His eyes have been gouged out. That in itself was a humiliating act of the Philistines. Samson is now blind. Not only is he blind, we find that as a result his hair has been cut. The Nazarite vow is now void. The Lord has left him. His supernatural strength is gone. He's now in prison, we read. He's bound with bronze shackles. So here's this blind man in prison, grinding at the mill. He can't see what's happening. And here we read in the Word of God that this man was a judge over Israel for 20 years. How low the people of God can go. And so we're going to ask ourselves some questions tonight, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's a warning for all of us tonight. For us who are in the chapel tonight, there's a warning. I want us to remember this sermon. I want us to remember Samson. Remember Samson. The next time you're tempted to live a life of sin, remember Samson. We get a reminder as there is deliverance for the people of God, or for Lot, from Sodom and Gomorrah. And his wife looks back and she became a pillar of salt. And we're told to remember Lot's wife. But tonight I want us to remember Samson. Samson's humiliation. And we wonder sometimes how low professing leaders in God's church can go. Here was a man that we read in chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, Samson went down to Gaza to see a prostitute. Here was a man recognized to be a judge, a leader in Israel, and his life is an absolute mess. And I've got three verbs for us tonight. What's a verb? It's a working word. Is that right, Rivka? I'm sure Agrippa Jr. knows that. A verb is a working word. And we've got three verbs for you tonight to tender. It's the verb visiting. The second heading is the verb sleeping. And the third verb is humiliating. They're more what we call participles. ING words. So my first heading is going to be fairly brief, because we're going to look at sin and then realize that the answer for sin is Jesus Christ. But we see Samson's humiliation. The first heading is visiting. Who was Samson visiting? Chapter 16, verse 1, he went to visit a prostitute. That's a woman who sells herself to men for illicit things. But she didn't go looking for Samson. Samson went looking for her. Samson went to a Philistine, a Gentile woman, to commit what the Bible would call an abomination. Visiting a prostitute. But we may ask ourselves the question, what do we spend our time visiting? Who do we visit? You may say, well, this is not for me tonight. I've never visited a prostitute. But how do you spend your time in your free time? Visiting who, and what's the purpose? Because Samson didn't get there overnight. There are four things that will bring a man of God down. Four things, and most of them are in play here in this chapter. Money is what will bring a man down. Number two is power. Number three is women, and number four is pride. And all of these are in play in Samson's downfall, Samson's humiliation. Samson, first of all, we know he falls the sin of women. It wasn't so much that women were committing sin. It was that Samson was committing sin, pursuing illicit women. First a prostitute before we even got to Delilah. But I want to tell us tonight the good news. Can women prostitutes be saved? And the answer is yes. Can men who visit prostitutes be saved? And the answer is yes. Because the blood of Jesus knows no power to save people. Amen. Like we heard this morning, the question is, the well, the people who say they're well, they're actually sick. But it's the people who acknowledge that they're sick who come to Christ, the physician, for healing. So visiting, where do you visit? Number two, sleeping, where do you sleep? Well, secondly, we find that Samson now goes to visit Delilah, this woman. He falls in love with a non-Christian. What would you want us to do as elders? If young men in this church or young women came to us as elders and say, I've fallen in love with a non-Christian, he or she, they're a delightful person. How would you want us to counsel them? The answer would be, you've got to break off that relationship. Samson is in a far worse position. He's actively pursuing this relationship with Delilah in the valley of Sorek, this Philistine woman. And the lords of the Philistines come to her, and they see this as an opportunity. And they say, we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver each if you find the secret to Samson's strength. So we see women is tempting Samson. Now money is in play, and Delilah is prepared to sell her own soul for this money. She's not interested in Samson now. She wants the money. All she can see are the pound signs, and there's a lot of money at stake. And so she herself is tempted. If you've ever known what life was like at the end of the Cold War, or during the Cold War, there's a famous book called Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Have you ever heard of that book? And it's all you never knew whose side who was on. And that's what's happening with Samson now. His pride has brought him low. The power that he relied upon has brought him low. He thinks he can just snap these bowstrings that are brought against him. But he's not trusting in the Lord. And now this woman, Delilah, in 16 verse 5, is offered money. Let me just say this. Money can corrupt the church. When you read the Bible, money often is what tempts people to go astray. How about you? Are you making sure you're seeking first the kingdom of God? Because money can corrupt. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. I'm sure Tatenda's parents have got to memorize that verse. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. And it's through that craving that some have wandered away from the faith. So money can lead people to turn away from the gospel. Secondly, when sin is in play, as there was in Samson's life, did you notice there's a lack of discernment? What's happening with Samson? She keeps on saying, do this and do that, and then the Philistines rush in. Can you imagine playing a children's game at a birthday party? Three times it happens, and Samson doesn't seem to change his attitude. She keeps on saying, he keeps on telling Delilah, do this and my strength will go. And then all the Philistines rush in, and Samson snaps it off. It's such a loss of discernment. Let me say this. When somebody walks in sin, there will be a loss of discernment. I've seen it myself over the years. People can fall in love with somebody whose life can be an absolute wreck. And you can't get through to them anymore because there's no discernment. Number three, walking in sin will produce spiritual drowsiness. Samson loses his discernment, and now he's fallen asleep on the lap of Samson. Sorry, Samson has fallen asleep on the lap of who? Delilah. And there's a lesson about another man who fell asleep, and his name was Peter. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, I'm going to go over there and pray. And he said to his disciples, I want you to stop and watch and pray. Do you notice in a moment what's missing in Samson's life? And Peter reminds us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at a proper time God may exalt you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Peter learned that from experience, that he and the disciples fell asleep. Our fourth lesson from Samson here is, do you notice something? There's no prayer. There's no prayer in Samson. Prayerlessness means that sin is present. Prayerlessness means that sin is present. Let me give you an example. What about King David? Remember when King David was on his palace rooftop and he looks down and there's this beautiful naked woman? What does King David do? Do we find that the Bible records, and David fell on his knees and said, Lord, lead me not into temptation. No, King David was prayerless. What about Adam? You know, when we read in the Garden of Eden that the woman gave him the fruit to eat, which was forbidden, what we find in Adam, there was no prayer. In Samson, there's no prayer. Prayerlessness is a sign of sin. But how about you? Are you living a prayerless life? And if you are, I want to call you to change tonight. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 28:16, whoever believes will not be in haste. And if you're not living a prayerful life to watch and pray, you will make hasty decisions. And fifthly, do you notice the manipulation that's at work here? Because the flesh is what we're looking at with the downfall of Samson. Notice how Delilah, what did she say to him? Does Delilah say to Samson, we need to fast and pray, Samson, about this situation? No. What does she say? How can you say, Samson, I love you when your heart is not with me? Delilah plays at the heartstrings of Samson. There's no prayer here, and he gives in. She presses him hard. She uses manipulation. Oh, Samson, if you really love me, you wouldn't do this. Whatever voice you may have. And what does he do? He tells her all of his heart. And did he notice what we read in the Word of God? He even confesses to her and says, I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. So he is in his backslidden state. He's still conscious that he has been devoted as a Nazarite to God while he's lying on Delilah's lap. And then he tells her the secret. He says, if my head and my hair is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like any other man. He was confessing in his sinful situation that he'd been a Nazarite from birth. But what had become of Samson now? He'd become an adulterer. He's far from God. And thirdly, Samson is humiliating. He's not only humiliated, but he's humiliating. Who is he humiliating? In his actions, he's humiliating the God of the Bible. He was called by God to be a Nazarite, and now he's bringing shame and dishonor upon the one true and living God. Even to this day, we were saying over lunch, there's a Tom Jones song, you know, da, 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 Delilah. And even to this day, the world sing about the sin of Samson. It's a warning to all of us. Samson brought, he was humiliating the living God. He was humiliating the old covenant church. He was supposed to be a judge. He should have been living in moral righteousness, living a life of an honorable life, but instead is living a life of prostitution, of sinfulness, of renegade dereliction of duty. And by him doing this, I want to say something as we come to a close, because the next sermon's going to be this, Samson's conversion. But I want to say this, is that God can bring people very low before they are converted. And I want to say this, if you're making notes, you can write this one down, that hard providences are a great evangelist. And Samson was living a life of rebellion, of sin, of treachery to God and his own people. And see how we see as we come to a close in chapter 16, that in verse, where's the verse gone again? Chapter 16 and verse 21. And the Philistines seized Samson. They gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. And what we find in the next verse is the beginning of Samson's conversion. Because it says, verse 22, but the hair of Samson's head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And it's important that we pray for people to be converted. But sometimes God will use very hard providences to break our pride, to break our sinfulness. And in Samson's case, he loses his eyes. He loses his freedom. He's in prison, a blind man, shackled to the Philistines. But it says in verse 22, but the hair of his head began to grow again. And we're going to find out next week, if God permits, on Samson's conversion. But I want to say this, that hard providences are a great evangelist. How did you come to know Christ? Did God use hard providences to bring you to his Son? Hopefully for many the answer will be yes, but if the answer's not yes, have you been brought to a realization of your own sin? Because at this point, Samson is been reveling in sin. We have to get to a point, if we're truly a Christian, that we acknowledge that without the blood of Jesus and without faith in Jesus, that were we to die, that we'd be cast into everlasting punishment. Are you conscious of your own sinfulness and the greatness of our Savior tonight? We're going to stop there, but I want to say this. Hard providences are a great evangelist for people. God often uses affliction. You might be praying for a renegade son who's far from God. The Lord might use very difficult providences to bring him or her to Christ. Quite honestly, we don't care what it is as long as people come to Christ. But Samson at this stage seems to be a lost case. But when all may seem lost, just like the resurrection, there can still be hope. And we'll stop there for now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight as we come to the Lord's Supper, where we're reminded of how Jesus was crucified and how he shed his blood, but on the third day he was raised from the dead. And we pray that you would fill us with great joy tonight as we eat and drink this covenant meal in your holy presence, in Jesus' name. Amen.